This is the Sue Free Show, the pursuit of passion, purpose, and connection. Now, here's Sue Freeze.
Thank you so much for joining the Sue Freeze Show, and it's really wonderful to be with you today. Such a blessing. I'm finding more and more and more that my life can change by one simple change in what I do. And one of those things is being grateful and thankful every minute, every day. In the Bible, it talks about, you know, give thanks in all things. And how many of us, if you really do an evaluation of ourselves, how many of us actually take the time to do that? Whether you're thanking your child or thanking your employee or your boss or someone at church or just a friend or a sister or a brother who reached out and just connected with you, how many times are we actually just feeling blessed and actually expressing that blessing to that person that's actually doing the blessing? I know that I don't do it enough. Even I'm making a conscious effort of it these days. I'm making a conscious effort, and I still feel that I fall short. And if you do this, when you do this evaluation, I think you're going to find that no matter how much we do, there's more to be done. And I'm just encouraging you right now to don't give up this journey and this fight. Just focus on just making these tiny changes, because these tiny changes become changes for your lifestyle, for your life, and for the enhancement of your relationships just moving forward. So when I was talking to Cynthia today, my assistant, she comes in with her notebook and she says, okay, what are we talking about today? And so she put together a great program for me, and she put it in a file and a folder on my desk, and I had 10 things going on all at the same time, which I multitask pretty well. And I'm a maximizer, I've been told, of time. And so with that, I was so maximizing that I left the folder on my desk and got to the radio station, which is 30 minutes away from my office. And so there was no turning back to go get it. And so luckily, she went back in and she emailed quickly, part of it. So we're going to be talking about that today. So the lesson for today is we're talking about giving. And giving is not always money. Immediately people think giving is money. And giving is, time is a exchange. You know, when you give time to something, you're exchanging it for sometimes money, sometimes for other things. But the real thing that we have only so much of is what? It's our time. Our time is so valuable. And me being a maximizer, since I brought that up, time is so valuable to me. I want to make every minute count. Every second must count. Now, not everybody is on that same page, and so it can become maybe even obnoxious sometimes because I'm always thinking about maximizing my minutes. And in maximizing my minutes, I'm hoping that the people that respect me and work with me are maximizing theirs and maximizing the time that they spend with me because of only having so many hours and so many minutes in a day. People will describe me as making coffee nervous, and they will describe me as being busy. And I don't really like that I'm busy. I don't want to be busy. But when you're put in a position of responsibility and you have a lot to do, you have to focus on minimizing your busy. And you need a group of people around you that can do part of what needs to get done, because there's no way you can get it all done. And we had that conversation today in my office with Kim, my bookkeeper, who's been with my, she's much more than a bookkeeper, but we call her the bookkeeper. She's payroll. She does a lot. And I'm so forever grateful. But we've been together for 20 years and she sits right across from me. So I see her face. She sees my face and we talk all the time. And she understands how I work and I understand how she works, and she maximizes her minutes, and she just gets through things. I mean, that basket on her desk, I don't know how she does it, but she gets it emptied. Every day she leaves that office. I wish I could empty my desk and empty my basket every single day. I just wish I could do that, but I can't. I'm trying. I'm really trying. So giving is not always your money. It's your time, because you're exchanging time for money. Where do you spend your time? And where your treasure is also your heart. There's a scripture like that. And they said, if you really want to know what you're really valuing, look at your checkbook, if we still use one. But if you look at a checkbook, you're going to find out where the money goes. Is it going towards donations, or is it going towards church? Are you doing those things? And maybe you're doing that, but you're doing a lot of other things too. But they say that if you want to know where a person's treasure is, look at their checkbook. So giving obeys God's commands, and I'm just going to go into this. I'm looking for a name of where this came from, and I'll find it eventually, I think. Anyway, giving obeys God's command. The Old Testament has way more commands about financial giving, who, when, and how much, than the New Testament. Maybe the New Testament writers just assumed that as God had given far more to us in the New Testament, giving himself to death, that our giving should follow fairly logically and easily. But just in case we might miss the link, there are clear New Testament commands, also 1 Corinthians 1:2, as all of God's commands are given to enhance our lives, obeying this command will increase our happiness. How many of you want to increase your happiness? I've been asking myself this question. Sue, are you really happy? So I'm going to ask you that. Are you happy? And what does happy look like? And what makes you happy? This is a really important question, because happy, the word happy, comes from happenings. And so when you buy a car, you're happy. But how long does it last? Okay. So I want to feel joy, because joy is deeper. Joy fills your heart. It just fills from the inner side, your soul. There's this joy. And the joy of the Lord be your strength is a scripture. Don't know where it is at the moment, but the joy of the Lord be your strength. And out of giving, the joy is in the giving. Have you heard that? The joy is in the giving. This is not in my notes. It's just something that's coming from my heart and something that I've read in scriptures that are coming to my mind right now, which in fact tells you that where we need to spend our time, where I need to spend more time, is in the Word. And I had that conversation with the Lord this morning, is that I feel that I'm put in a position to talk to you about God. And I feel like, and I'm just being real because that's who I am, real, I feel like I'm not spending enough time in His Word, because that's where the truth is. And that's where, everything is revealed and our relationship gets stronger, because we need to understand who He is and who we are in Him. So number two, giving submits to God's lordship. Every act of obedience recognizes that there is a higher authority in our lives, that there is a Lord over us who is entitled to honor and respect. Due to our temperament, personality, or circumstances, we may find some commands relatively easy to obey. Our submission is really tested in areas where our own nature and situation make obedience more difficult. For most of us, money is one of those areas. I know, right? Our wallet is often the last citadel to fall to God's rule, and even when it does fall, it gets rebuilt and resecured again all too quickly. If only we could remember that divine lordship is not a threat, rather it's the place of greatest safety. Number three, giving exhibits God's heart. God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. That's James 1:17. As His image bearers, we are called to copy His giving, to be many pictures of His infinitely large heart. The larger our hearts and the wider our hands, the larger the picture we paint of God's character. What do people think of God when they think of the way you use your money? Now, this is speaking to me. It's speaking to me, and I'm hoping it's speaking to you. I don't know about you, but I work hard for my money. Do you work hard for your money? Does it come easy, or did it come with a price? I can tell you that when I was starting out and on my own, I put myself through college. I was 17, left my house, moved up to LA, and it was a whole new world. Boy, it was a new world for me. And I lived on macaroni and cheese. And at that time, a box of macaroni and cheese, I know I'm dating myself, but it was 19 cents. And it's something I could afford. I gained 20 pounds during my time in college because I had to pay for my own college, and I had to pay for my rent. I had to pay for everything. I didn't have the government subsidizing me, and I didn't have parents that could afford to do that. So I did it. I'm a better person because I feel like I've put myself through it and I could get through it. And I think that's not a bad thing. So those that are doing that, congratulations, and it's great. And you really learn, I think, what you're made of when you realize that you're down to the last pennies. And I realized that produce was a lot cheaper than meat. So I ate a lot of salads. Now, was that good for me? I think it was. And I would get chicken and I would boil the chicken because I would just boil the chicken and I would have a little bit of it every single night. So I'd get my protein. But I tell you what, I gained a lot of weight with that 19 cent. I love macaroni and cheese. How about you? But it didn't love me. So all I'm saying is that money didn't come. It doesn't grow on trees, my mom used to say. You know, Susie, money doesn't grow on trees. And I'm like, so true. And so we have to really think about how we spend our money. And that's why I think the Lord lately has been really expressing to me how important it is I help my employees learn how to be good stewards with their money. I need to teach them how to, delayed gratification is not a bad thing, by the way. Delayed gratification. If you really want something, you save your pennies, save your dimes, save your nickels, whatever you need to save until you can afford to buy it. Don't spend beyond your means because it's stressful. And it's better to just wait until you can afford and then go that direction. People say, oh, what do you know about that, Sue? You know, you seem like you're doing pretty well. And I'm like, yeah, but I didn't start here. I worked hard. And I know a lot of you understand this. And it's difficult when you see people that are being given things that you had to work so hard for. It's very difficult, even though you don't wish bad on anybody. But you also think that, wait, I had to work for that. I didn't just give it. It wasn't just given to me. So I understand both sides, and I try to be sensitive to both sides. Anyway, so God, exhibits God's heart. Giving exhibits God's heart. That was number three. Number four, giving illustrates God's salvation. If you're tuning in right now, I forgot to just mention this. This is the Sue Free Show, and we didn't have a reset for a while, so I'm just going to reset and say, this is the Sue Free Show. That's Sue Free, spelled like fries, one word, .com. And I would love for you to share this with other people, and I would also love for you to connect with me. This show is about the pursuit of passion, purpose, and connection. And if you haven't caught it yet, I'm pretty passionate. And I am pursuing purpose. And I do want to connect with you. And so the best way to do that is to connect with me on Sue Free, spelled like friesmore.com, and let me know what's going on with your life. If you need prayer requests, if you need resources, I might have some help there. So, reach out to me. I'd really appreciate it. I'd love to know who's out there listening. Number four, giving illustrates God's salvation. At the heart of the gospel is sacrificial self-giving, John 3:16. That's why when the Apostle Paul wanted to encourage the Corinthians to give more, he pointed them to the person and work of Christ. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that thou he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. That's 2 Corinthians 2:9. Now, it didn't give you John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's John 3:16, one of the most, if not the most popular verses in the Bible. And did you know that In-N-Out, on the bottom of their cups, if you go to In-N-Out, which, if you don't, why not? Anyway, the cup, at the bottom of the cup, it has John 3:16 on the bottom of there. Why do you think they're so successful? Yes, they have a great hamburger, and they're reasonable, very reasonable. My dogs even like their hamburgers. But I'll tell you what, that John 3:16 on the bottom of the cup, it's a talking point. It is, and it might be the beginning of a great conversation, right? So there you go. So, yes, you abound in faith, love, etc., but see that you abound in this grace also. When we give sacrificially, painfully, for the benefit of others, we are faintly and on a small scale preaching the gospel message. You know, there are times that I will be in a store, usually secondhand store, Salvation Army, somewhere, because I love to shop there. My daughter's doing the same thing, and it's so cute to see that she's following in my footsteps, because I just love secondhand and I love getting, you know, finding those treasures. Some of you are laughing and some of you are saying, I'm right with you, sister. And that's great. And I'm glad to have other people that like to do this. And I get great, great treasures for minimal cost, which is another part of the stewardship. If I can get five things for your one, then I'd rather have my five. And if I can do that and it's not hurting anybody, that's a good thing. You know, Salvation Army, they're really a good organization, and donating money to them is a great, great thing. But anyway, when I'm in a store or I'm somewhere, all of a sudden the Lord will just tug me and say, give that person some money. I don't hesitate because I know it just feels so good. Now, this isn't something I do every day. Don't think I'm a saint. I'm not. But it does happen. And when it happens, It just doesn't even hurt me at all. And it's not something that I express or tell people. I don't tell people the amount of what I do or what I do. It's just that God gives me, you know, he'll give me a person. There'll be a person standing next to me or something. And all of a sudden, I bless them and I'm able to. People say, well, you know, I don't really need that much money, or why do people need so much money? And I really like, I don't know, the little wrinkles go on my forehead. Because I don't understand that thinking at all. I just like, I'm puzzled by that comment. Because my comment is God wants us to use the money for his kingdom. He wants us to use this money to build his kingdom. Everything we do costs money, really, if you think about it. Church needs money. If you go to the restroom, you turn on the lights, you need air conditioning, does that not cost money? So for a church to ask for money to keep the lights on and the toilets working and toilet paper in there, that's not a bad thing, is it? It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. And we're there because we're contributing to the welfare and the help of other people that walk through those doors. I don't have a problem with that. Maybe you do. You know, when that bowl comes around, I'm thankful that I can, and that I'm in a position that I can. And maybe you're in a position you can't, and that's okay too. Can you sacrifice some time? Can you donate a minute? Can you donate an hour? What can you give? Give from what you have. So when we give sacrificially, painfully for the benefit of others, we are faintly and on a small scale preaching the gospel message. And isn't that true? And whenever I give, I always say, thank you, God, and God bless you. I don't have to say, you know, where are you in your walk? I could say that. And sometimes I might, if I'm prone to, if there's a little prodding and I feel like there's a necessity to do that. But listen, this life we're living, we're living this life to plant seeds, and any way you can plant a seed. There's been times where I've seen on Facebook where somebody went through an in and out or a drive through and they paid for the person behind them. They paid for their food. And the person on Facebook would say, oh my gosh, you will never guess what just happened. The person in front of me, I don't know who it is. I have no idea. They drove away and they paid for my food. How awesome is that? 5, giving trust, God provision. The biggest deterrent to giving is fear. The fear that if I give away too much, I won't have enough for this or that. When we give sacrificially above and beyond what is comfortable and easy, we are expressing our faith and trust in God to provide for us and our family. This is not an argument for folly, but for faith. Many Christians have discovered the joy of casting their crumbs of bread upon the waters and multiple loaves returning after many days. Ecclesiastes 11:1. It's such a joy to see God fulfill his promise of provision when we obey him. That is really neat, isn't it? It's an answer to prayer, even if you haven't made the prayer. Now, I will tell you that when I give money, I'm always praying over that money. Not only that the money goes to where it needs to go in order for that person to get the help they need or food they need or whatever, but I'm also praying that it be a seed, that it shows God. 6, giving widens God's smile. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 2:7, it delights him to see his people gladly opening their hearts and hands to provide for the needs of his church and indeed of all his creatures. Through Paul, God repeatedly commends the praises those who gave of their funds and of themselves to gospel work. 2 Corinthians 8:1. There's nothing that makes a Christian happier than knowing that she's made God happy, she or he, and happy giving means a happy God. And happy giving means a happy God. 7, giving advances God's kingdom. Many of us have contributed to Apple in one way or another. We have helped to grow the company from a garage operation to the worldwide empire it is today, and I'm happy about that, as it's a company that has brought many blessings to the world. But think of what blessing results when we find the mission of Christ Church. We are paying salaries of ministers and missionaries. We are funding resources for outreach, evangelism, and discipleship. But above all, we are investing in the spiritual and eternal welfare of people from every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue. Our dollars are changing homes, relationships, countries, and even eternal destiny of many souls. Number 8, giving promotes God's sanctification. Giving not only promotes God's work through us, but also God's work in us, our sanctification. Giving money, especially when it pains us, requires much self-denial and self-crucifixion. However, as every act of giving weakens and even breaks our sinful and selfish nature, the more God's grace spreads in our hearts. Yes, money leaves our pockets, but sin also leaves our hearts. And that's a great deal, priceless, actually. 9. Giving testifies to God's power. Although we are not to let our left hand know what our right hand does, it's pretty obvious that Christians give a lot to their churches and Christian charities. Even secular observers have noticed with amazement how generous Christians often are with their money. They may not say it, but they surely must think it. This must be the real deal for people to give away so much of their own money. They must really believe this stuff. The God they worship and serve must be incredibly powerful to make people so generous. Giving praises God's character. Giving in a right spirit is an act of worship. It is rendering Him a tribute of praise. It is saying, "You gave me everything, and here is a small expression of my gratitude and praise for all your good gifts. It's only a token, a sample of what I really feel, but you know the heart that lies behind it." As David sang, "What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefit towards me?" Psalm 116:12. Do you now see how giving makes us more blessed than getting? We can get so much happiness when we see how God is glorified in our giving, and when we see Him bless others through our giving. David Murray is professor of Old Testament and Practical Theology at Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary. He blogs at Head, Heart, Hand, and you can follow him on Twitter. And thank you, David, for this article. I really appreciate it. We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show right after this brief break. Have you noticed more insects or rodents in your yard? Or maybe in your home?
Warmer weather means it's mating season.
Hey there, cutie. What's your sign?
Hi, this is Sue Freeze of Ecola Termite Pest Control, but you can call me the Termite Lady.
And I'm Tyson Freeze, manager at Ecola. When pests start mating, they start looking for food supplies, your pantry, your garage, and a quick infestation can cost hundreds in tainted food.
You don't want pests in your house. We know how to find and eliminate them before they can settle in.
Call us for our free pestimate at 877-332-BUGS. New customers get $50 off any initial treatment. Pests hate that we make our service so affordable.
Don't let insects and rodents move in. Call Ecola now, 877-332-BUGS. That's 877-332-BUGS. Or online at termitelady.com.
Ecola, powerful termite and pest control.
As gentle as a butterfly.
Ecola, 877-332-BUGS, termitelady.com.
What would you do if your 2-year-old child simply stopped breathing? The day businesswoman and author Sue Freeze discovered her son had developed life-threatening asthma, her life changed forever, sending her on a path of learning, discovery, and environmental activism. Sue's book, Learning to Breathe, chronicles her amazing life and death battle for her son Tyson's life, a how-to manual for parents of children with asthma, revealing the secret causes, surprising cures, and the untold truth about harmful indoor allergens. Written with the passion of a loving mother, wisdom of a successful businesswoman, and deep spiritual devotion, Learning to Breathe is a hero's journey for the parent in all of us. If your child suffers from asthma, this must-read book could save your child's life. Learning to Breathe by author Sue Freeze, available on Amazon, or log on to SueFreeze.com. That's Sue, FRIES.com. SueFreeze.com. You're listening to The Sue Freeze Show, the pursuit of passion, purpose, and connection. And here again is Sue Freeze.
Thank you so much, Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services, for sponsoring this show. And if you'd like to sponsor this show, I want to talk to you. How do you do that? You go to SueFreeze, spelled like fries, oneword.com. SueFreeze, spelled like fries, oneword.com. Go there and connect with me. This is the pursuit of passion, purpose, and connection. So connect with me, would you? And please share this with other people. I'd really appreciate that. So we're part two here, and what we're going to talk about is values and base leadership. I am the owner, president of Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services, and right now we are on a hiring frenzy. In fact, we've been on a hiring frenzy for two years now, and it's been strenuous and ridiculous. For a long time, it was like people just didn't want to work because they could get paid to stay home. And I'm hearing this throughout all kinds of industries, and it's just crazy. And what it's done is the people that are willing to work, which I'm so thankful for, the burden is heavy because they're doing the work of more than one person. Now, Ecola has six offices, and we're looking for office number seven. And we have an office in San Diego, and listeners, thank you, San Diegans, for listening for 10 years, almost, well, I think it's 11 years now on the Sue Freeze Show. Venturians, Orange Countyans, LAans, and Santa Marians, and all the way up to Los Osos and Paso Robles and, you know, way up there. And I'm really thankful for all of you listeners out there. And a lot of you are Ecola customers. So thank you for trusting Ecola enough to take care of your services. We have pest control. We have termite. We do alternative and traditional. Alternative is non-chemical methods along with traditional methods, which is what all the other companies pretty much use. It's nice when you can kind of intermix the both to get the problem solved. We also do rodent exclusions and trapping, and we also do insulation to save you on your energy bills. You know, we've been doing the insulation for a while now, and I can tell you that the insulation we use is blown in. It has a borate treatment on it. It's recycled newspaper, so it's green, and it has borates, which are fire. They have a fire retardant in it, so putting that in your attic is a good thing. And it also is treated with a borate, and it takes a pest control company to offer this to you. Because of that, it has to be somebody that's licensed in our field in order to bring it up and talk about it. And so that way, Ecola is the company that you should choose to do your insulation. And there are some grants and government help that can save you money, and you save on your energy bill regardless, so it's a good thing. I don't see any reason why not. And even if you have insulation now, you can either build on that to the level in which we need to build it to, or if it has been there a while or it's had rodent in there that's been peeing and pooping, then you'd want to take all that out, clean that all out, and then put new in. So those are the things that we offer at Ecola, and Ecola sponsors this show. I'd love to have others sponsor this show, so if you're interested in doing that, contact me. So I'm going to read from this book, and it's called Jesus Calling, Enjoying Peace in His Presence by Sarah Young. And this book, I love this book, and I think I don't have any stock in this book, but people have bought this book because of my reading. And this goes for today, and every time I open up the book to the date I'm on and I read it, I'm like, oh, wow, this is really amazing. It's so perfect for right now. So here you are. And this is the Lord talking to you, okay? That's who's talking, is the Lord. And He is saying this. Are you ready? He is saying, come to Me when you are hurting, and I will soothe your pain. Come to Me when you are joyful, and I will share your joy, multiplying it many times over. I am all, in capital letters, you need, just when you need it. Your deepest desires find fulfillment in Me alone. Did you hear that? Your deepest desires. Dig deep. Okay, because some of us are so busy that we don't have time to feel, and we don't take the time to understand that deep fulfillment, that deep desire in your heart that only God can fill. This is the age of self-help. Bookstores abound with books about taking care of number one, making oneself the center of all things. The main goal of these methodologies is to become self-sufficient, and confident. You, however, have been called to take a road less traveled. Continual dependence on me, meaning the Lord. True confidence comes from knowing you are complete in my presence. That's in his presence. You're complete in his presence. How many of you, and I'm talking to me right now, take the time to have the be still and know moments daily? You know, there are some professionals that I know that they say it's very important to take a nap in the middle of the day. It refreshes you. It gets your brain alive again, like it wakes it up again. And sometimes in this quiet time, it talks about closing your eyes and either having nice music or waves or some type of sound, background sound, but to picture that most important moment in time for you. If you think about the time where you felt nearest to the Lord or just felt the most at peace with yourself, do you have a picture in mind? This takes a minute to think through all of your memories in your brain, but if you take the time to just take a deep breath in and out and just close your eyes in a quiet moment, and think about that special time, that time where you just felt so full and peaceful, the most peaceful moment. Where are you? Where are you in that moment? Is it in the forest? Do you hear the pine needles blowing in the breeze? Do you smell the pine needles? Is it there? Or is it at the ocean? Do you smell the ocean breeze? Do you feel the ocean breeze in your face? Do you smell the salty air? Where is it for you feel the most peaceful? And they say that when you take this time off to put yourself in that mind, in that place, and that when you get there, it's like something happens. It's like you, all the stresses of the day leave you because you can get so busy in your brain. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes I'll be in the middle of my trying to sleep and I have to have a notepad by my bed. And that notepad is to unload my brain so that I actually can actually close my eyes and actually go to sleep. Some of you can relate to that. And it has worked for me. It so has worked for me. Anyway, all I'm saying is that time to get to be as one with him, that is where you'll feel his presence. And when you get in his presence, sometimes those prayers that you've been praying or those questions that you're having, sometimes something just happens and it opens up and something just drops down. This has happened to me. So I know from experience that this has happened to me, but it's when the busyness settles. It's when I can put everything, you know, quiet. I have to have a quiet moment. And maybe that's you. Maybe you need that. Everything you need has its counterpart in me. So here's a couple scriptures for you. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is scripture. This is John 15:5. Do you hear what he's saying? That he's the vine and we are the branches. Now on a vine, you know, they trim the vines that are not bearing fruit, right? They trim them down. Sometimes in life, our life lessons are part of that pruning. It's part of us getting those things trimmed off. I'm getting a visual right now. There's a vision happening right now in me where I'm seeing that some of the things that I'm dealing with and some of the things that you're dealing with right now, they're for your good. It's pruning. You're being pruned. And after you get pruned or a vine gets pruned, what happens? You know, the seasons have to go through their seasons and there has to be the right amount of water and all that. But what happens next is that fruit gets burnt. And the sweeter the fruit is from everything that happened before that. Wow. And that's you, right? Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So ask yourself this right now. This is good for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Perseverance must finish its work. Sometimes we're in the middle of it. You're in the middle of the storm. You're in the middle of something. And things are coming at you from all sides. Do you know what I'm saying right now? Are you there? Are you feeling that? And what happens is, you know, you can't just quit. Well, I guess you could. You could just quit. There's times where I'm like, I just want to quit. But I can't quit. And you should not quit. Because when you quit, you never know the outcome because you quit. You didn't finish the race to win the prize. What race are you running? What prize are you running for? What's the goals that you have down the road? If you don't, then figure that out. We have a lot to do here. We have a lot to do here, and we only have so many minutes. You only have so many minutes, and don't waste them. What are you doing with your life right now? Are there things that you could take out of your checkbook? Are there things that you don't need to be doing that you could find things in the replacement that would bring more fruit? That would bring more maybe finances to give away or more time for you to have to give to somewhere? What are you doing with your life right now? And could you make some changes that could change the outcome for the next year? I can tell you that that is a message for me. And it's a message for those that I love and I hold dear right now. And I don't know if they're listening to my show or not. I wish they would, because I think that this could be of such help to them. And so I'm speaking to certain individuals that I know they're going through certain things right now, and this is a word from the Lord, and I just thank the Lord for giving that word. So where are you in your life? If you had a barometer, you had a scale from 1 to 10, where would you say you are right now? And I've talked about the spokes in the wheel and how we have different spokes. And in order for our lives to run down the road to win the race, all of these spokes have to be pretty even in order for that wheel to roll, right? So you know what the spokes are, right? Your finances is one. Your physical is another. Your emotional is another. Your spiritual is another. But if you do an assessment of all of these, where are you? This is the Sue Free Show. Yep, that's where you are. The Sue Free Show. And the Sue Free Show is just so thankful that you've joined in today. And I don't believe in coincidence. God says that coincidence is when he decides to stay anonymous. It's a God thing. And I'm thankful that you're here. And I'm hoping this has been helpful for you. And I'm hoping that you share the show with other people. Sometimes talking about God can be uncomfortable, but for me, it's all I know. It is, it's such a part of my life. Now, there's people that don't believe there is a God, or they believe in a different God. And I just know my God is real. I know he's real because I've been through so much. And even when I felt like he wasn't there, later I realized he was. He was doing what he needed to do, and he was letting me do what I needed to do. And he wanted me to have faith, and he wanted me to be trusting him. And sometimes I am very controlling and I want to take control, and because I feel more secure when I'm in control. I know, right? The thing is that I'm really not in control. I'm not. And I just have to focus on what I know I could do something about, and then I just have to put the rest in his hands. And then together, we make things happen. And I think that's a really good solution to situations. So I'm really hoping, because my preparation was I didn't have preparation, and I'm doing this based on just what I'm feeling from my heart. And I just wanted to share some things with you. Anyway, so there is another book that I'm really focused on right now because, you know, in being a leader, all of us, there are people watching us. You realize that. You might think you're not a leader. But, you know, no matter who you are and what position you hold, there is somebody watching you. And just understand that you could impact them both positively or negatively. And my hope for you is that you would want to, you know, impact people in a positive way. And so the decisions that we make every minute of every day are affecting not only you. Your decisions affect other people. And look, this is not a judgment. And it's not a unworthy, you know, feeling ashamed or unworthy, because listen, all of us have made wrong choices. All of us have. And in the Bible, he talks about forgiveness, and he also talks about grace. The acronym for grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Isn't that beautiful? God's riches at Christ's expense. And he gives us grace. I'm so thankful for his grace. Because I am far, far, far from perfect. And guess what? So are you. And that's okay. We have to. We don't have to. I have to take responsibility for my actions. And I have to make amends when I need to. But I also need to forgive myself and forgive others for whatever's gone on. because we can beat ourselves up all day long, but it's not going to change what happened or what is. It's only going to beat us up. And I can't be my best self, and neither can you, if we're beating ourselves up. Correct? You know, we need to just forgive. And I don't think I'll ever forget, because that's part of who I am. I'm not going to forget. But it doesn't have the power that it had at one time before I was forgiving them or forgiving me. But I won't forget, because I think there's lessons in the remembering. But it doesn't have the power. I'm not in bondage. There's not chains of bondage from unforgiveness, because we become prisoners in our unforgiveness, and it creates bitterness that we don't want. So the best thing to do is to forgive yourself and forgive others. So no matter what you've done, it's done, and we need to forgive and move on. And if that's all you hear today, I would say that's a pretty good message right there. And it's not easy to do, but it is really easy. It's a choice you make in your head, and then it flows down to your heart. Because I've had to forgive people that really didn't deserve to be forgiven. They really didn't. But I've forgiven them, not for their sake, but for mine. And it was a big lesson, because I held on to it for a while. But I wasn't hurting them. They could care less. All I was doing was hurting me. So by letting it go, and letting God, but letting it go is for you. So I know I can see people right now. In my mind and in my heart, I see people right now that are listening, and they're still suffering in this department, in this arena. And all I can say is, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? It's a choice you make in your head. You don't have to feel it. Okay? It's a choice you make in your head. You're saying, I'm going to forgive this person. And you can write it down. It's really good to write it down. It's really good therapy. Write down everything or everyone. And then once you're done, you crinkle it up or put it in a fire, or you wrinkle it up and throw it away. But you write it all down. Get it all out. Just get it all out. And once you get all of that out and you throw that away, there's a new beginning that can begin. I've talked about this before, but not like this. This is just free for me. It's free from my own experiences to yours. It's real. And believe me, it's raw. It's raw because it's so deep. But I really desire for you, and I know the Lord does too, for you to be pruned and to be the vine that bears fruit. And that you find the joy, happy too, but the joy that comes from these experiences, from getting through these things so that you can move on and be all that God created you to be. He didn't intend for you to stay in the pain. He didn't intend for you to beat yourself up. And don't be around people that beat you up either. Physically, emotionally, set your boundary and get out of there. And I just got another one of those things. Get out. Get out. And if you're afraid, find a safe harbor. If you're afraid, there is someone that can help you. Connect with me and I'll be able to help you in that. Don't stay in an unhealthy environment. Don't stay in an unhealthy place. It's not healthy. And if you've got children, I know you're fearful for the children. All the more reason to get out. I was going to go into this value-based leadership, but I think that we're so far in that I wouldn't get very far. I will save this for another day. It's really, really a good book, and I think it was given to me. Isn't that something? Someone gave me this book, and I love that, because here, it's not money, it's a book, right? But look what it's doing. I'm going to be sharing this on the air, and it's going to help not just me, but it's going to help a lot of people. So see, there's just an example of how giving can multiply. And we are called to multiply. Do you realize that? And I don't mean people. I don't mean babies. We can do that too. I can't, but maybe you can. But to multiply, it's to multiply our efforts, no matter where our efforts are. Moses was the best manager. Did you know that? I was just taught this. And what did he use? He used his staff. He used what he had in his hand. A staff, a piece of wood. He used that. That's what he used. What do you have to use? What do you have that you can give? What skill sets do you have? Could you donate some of that? There's plenty of things I need. You want to come help me? I'd love that. But we all have skill sets. We all have things. And that we can give those things to someone else. That's why I was saying for sponsoring this show. If you are a company and you're not sure if you want to do this, you want to be on the air, contact me, because I've been doing this a lot of years, and I've gone through the School of Hard Knocks, believe me. And all I can tell you is you could try out with the Sue Free Show, see if it works. I think it will. See if it'll work. I will tell you if it'll work for you. I'll be really honest with you. I'm really real. And I will tell you if it's going to work, because I have different offices. I have different locations. So if you're in San Diego and your company is in San Diego, you don't want to advertise in Santa Maria, because you wouldn't be able to go there, right? So what you want to do is you want to advertise where your customer base is. So we could create an advertisement for you and play it only on the San Diego show on KPRZ. And then once you find success there, what I will do is connect you to a radio rep there, and he will be able, or she will be able, to help you come up with a program to go on different shows to build your advertising portfolio. But start somewhere. You have to start somewhere. So start with me. Start with me and let me help you with this. I would love to. And see, this is something I know. It's something I can give. And I want to do that because I can. And I will. Sue Freeze, spelled like fries, oneword.com. And listen, listeners, I really hope that you find the joy that only comes from understanding and knowing who you are and having that personal relationship with your Heavenly Father. It's a joy. It's a desire of your heart. It's the only thing that's going to fulfill that hole. There's a hole in there. And we're trying to fill it with all kinds of different things. Buying a car, going on vacation, doing this, doing that, finding that perfect person. But really, what's going to fill that place? It can only be filled by one thing. And that's our Heavenly Father. Having that personal relationship with our Heavenly Father is the only thing that's really going to fill that void in our heart. And I have to tell you, sometimes it's difficult for me. And it might be difficult for you too. Because sometimes people just kind of, I don't know, are afraid or get turned off. And I'm not a Bible thumper. I don't think I'm that. I just know my love and I know my relationship. And I know that I would, you know, when you have a movie, when you go to a movie and you see a good movie, do you not want to share that with other people? You do, right? Well, I want to share something that's very special to me. And that's my Jesus Christ. It's Heavenly Father who's there to just hold you up when times are tough and love on you and give you the desires of your heart. Wow. I really desire that for you. I want you to have the desires of your heart, and the Lord wants that for you too. He gives you the direction. He gives you the plan. It's in the Bible. It's the rule book for life. It's the Bible. And I'm hoping you guys all get into it, and I'm going to make a commitment to you that I'm going to get more into reading my Bible, and I'm going to go to church. And I'm going to do these things that sometimes not, and I'm not doing it enough. So until next week, be a blessing to someone each and every day. God bless you. Bye for now.
Ah, it's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home. Your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.